Loving Liberty Network proudly presents Heroes and Heroines, a weekly broadcast by Lawrence W. Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. Larry Reed has written nearly 2,000 articles and columns and is the author of 8 books. Most recently, the thought-provoking Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty welcomes you to Heroes and Heroines by Lawrence W. Reed.
People hate being made to think. The educator and classical scholar Edith Hamilton once said, "Laziness of mind is indeed easy to find, even more so today than in her time. It shows up in vapid social media posts, flippant political rhetoric, superficial media coverage, knee-jerk but sanctimonious opinions, and the widespread absence of critical thinking skills. It's everywhere. People who don't think are vulnerable to those who do, especially to those who think constantly about how to use others for nefarious purposes. Dictators and demagogues strongly prefer compliant, gullible, and sycophantic subjects over thoughtful, independent, free-spirited types. Laziness of mind rarely, if ever, made an appearance in the long life and remarkable work of Edith Hamilton, who was born in 1867 and lived until 1963. She celebrated the mind. She thought it was shameful to let one go to waste. In her view, quote, "Mind and spirit together make up that which separates us from the rest of the animal world, that which enables a man to know the truth, and that which enables him to die for the truth." In her last 3 decades, she put her own mind to reawakening popular interest in the great thinkers of the ancient past. And in that noble effort, this homeschooled prodigy indisputably succeeded. Born in Dresden, Germany, to American parents, she grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Her mother and father desired the best education for their 5 children, and they quickly realized that it was not to be found in the public schools. Edith and her 3 sisters and 1 brother were all homeschooled, and each one went on to become an accomplished professional. Alice, for instance, achieved prominence as an authority in industrial toxicology and was the first female appointed to a faculty post at Harvard University. Nora was a pioneer in art education for underprivileged children at Hull House in Chicago and in New York City. Margaret was an eminent educator and biochemist. Arthur was an author, professor of Spanish, and assistant dean for foreign students at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Edith earned honorary doctorates from Yale, the University of Rochester, and the University of Pennsylvania. Whoever said homeschoolers were not properly educated or socialized then or now never met the Hamiltons or any of the many homeschool families I've known. Edith Hamilton served for 26 years in various capacities, including head administrator for the Bryn Mawr School, a college preparatory institution for girls in Baltimore, Maryland. After retiring in her mid-50s in 1922, she decided to start a new career as a writer, one that would allow her to explore a lifelong passion for ancient Greece. Her first book, The Greek Way, appeared in 1930 when she was 62. Over the next 3 decades, she would earn a worldwide reputation as an authority on the ancients. The Greek Way was a huge success, as were her later books such as The Roman Way, The Prophets of Israel, and Mythology, Timeless Tales of Gods and Heroes. By 1957, nearly 5 million copies of Mythology alone had been sold. Edith Hamilton loved the ancient Greeks because they loved the mind of the individual, just as she did. The Greeks were the first intellectualists, she maintained. In a world where the irrational played the chief role, they came forward as the protagonists of the mind, she wrote. Elaborating on this point, she noted a remarkable feature of the ancient culture of Athens, quote, "The fundamental fact about the Greek was that he had to use his mind. The ancient priest had said, 'Thus far and no farther, we set the limits of thought.' But the Greeks said, 'All things are to be examined and called into question. There are no limits set on thought. To rejoice in life, to find the world beautiful and delightful to live in, was a mark of the Greek spirit which distinguished it from all that had gone before," end quote. Because the ancient Greeks loved the mind and respected the individual, they created a civilization unlike any other at the time or before. The freedom they enjoyed stood out in a world of tyrants and tyranny. At age 90, Edith Hamilton was honored in Greece's capital as an honorary citizen of Athens. She described it in her acceptance speech as, quote, the proudest moment of my life. Receiving thunderous applause in the shadow of the Acropolis, she spoke without notes of the city she loved, as well as any in America. Quote, Athens is truly the mother of beauty and of thought, and is also the mother of freedom. Freedom was a Greek discovery. The Greeks were the first free nation in the world. Greece rose to the very height, not because she was big, she was very small, not because she was rich, she was very poor, not even because she was wonderfully gifted. She rose because there was in the Greeks the greatest spirit that moves in humanity, the spirit that makes men free. End quote. To Edith Hamilton, the mind was each individual human being's most unique and precious possession. To her, the fact that we each have a mind of our own leads to one inescapable conclusion, namely, that to be fully human, we must be both free and responsible. She was a stalwart friend of the individual, his mind, his rights, and his freedom. When she died at 95 in 1963, the New York Times published a glowing obituary. One quote in particular that the obituary author provided indicated that Edith Hamilton was worried that the free societies of the 20th century were losing the Greek spirit of individualism. Quote, that frightens me much more than Sputniks and atomic bombs, she opined. Greeks thought each human being different, and I take a lot of comfort in the fact that my fingerprints are different from anybody else's. End quote. I'm certain she would detest today's groupthink, cancel culture, and political correctness. Edith Hamilton wanted the world to rediscover the best of ancient Greece, the appreciation of the individual mind and the critical need for people to be as free as possible so that they can put it to good use. She was ancient Greece's most popular 20th century cheerleader when she focused on its greatness. She was its most trenchant critic when she zeroed in on the reasons it declined and fell. Allow me to close with Edith Hamilton's assessment of the fall of her beloved ancient Athens, because it contains serious food for thought about events of today. Quote, what the people wanted was a government which would provide a comfortable life for them. And with this as the foremost object, ideas of freedom and self-reliance and service to the community were obscured to the point of disappearing. Athens was more and more looked on as a cooperative business, possessed of great wealth, in which all citizens had a right to share. Athens had reached the point of rejecting independence, and the freedom she now wanted was freedom from responsibility. There could be only one result. If men insisted on being free from the burden of a life that was self-dependent and also responsible for the common good, they would cease to be free at all. Responsibility was the price every man must pay for freedom. It was to be had on no other terms. End quote. For Heroes and Heroines, this is Lawrence Reed.
Join us again next week for Heroes and Heroines by Lawrence W. Reed. Broadcasts are archived at lawrencewreed.com and lovingliberty.net, home of a growing network of allies for liberty.